All right, welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 704. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I, too, am an Xbox.
Good. Glad you are also an Xbox, Tony. Earl is here.
And I am so happy that we voted for Twitter to be president.
And Jeff, as well.
I'm a Switch.
That has so many
meanings. Yeah, but that doesn't work. That doesn't work as well.
I don't know where we're at.
But I don't. I mean, you know, what Jeff does in his free time.
The Xbox thing is from Microsoft's like new campaign. Yeah.
Oh, I know where it's from. I'm just saying. Like,
I don't.
Jeff being a Switch could be very different.
Jeff, you have not seen any of the advertising, like, so.
So they showed this ad during the Game Awards, which I think for a lot of, like, Microsoft been running this campaign for about a month now.
Yeah.
But this was the first time a lot of people had actually seen it. And it was like Microsoft's new initiative is that you can, like, any device is an Xbox. So, like,
oh, yeah.
They showed off this commercial where a bunch of random stuff was an Xbox.
Yeah. No, I remember now.
Yeah. And people are really upset. They're like, oh, they're abandoning the brand, blah, 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 blah.
Hasn't it been their thing for a while? I mean,
yes, they've been trending in this direction for a very long time.
Yeah. I mean, I will continue to buy the actual box because that's who I am. But well, that you could play in other ways.
Like, yeah. I'm at the point now where I play almost all my Xbox games on PC. Because, like, that's an easier platform for me. It's just, it works out better for me. And it's kind of nice that I can get these games on one thing and play, like, I can play indie on my PC. It's very nice.
Granted, is indie also not just also on PC?
So indie actually is a PC game first. It was ported to Xbox.
Okay.
That was probably a bad example to start with.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
But yes, but it's on both. Like, Tony doesn't have to stream it or.
No,
that's
I
right.
That. I'm just. But I was like, oh no, I think it's also just. Yeah. But yes, it is. I mean, again, when they ran this marketing campaign initially, we talked about it because it's very much, I think something we've been saying for years and years here is like that has been their MO really in. This generation in particular is that they are not the everything system but the everywhere system.
Yes
Or I guess the everywhere platform, like you could play it everywhere because their stuff's going to be coming to PlayStation as well. That they should really do that. I bet they would have to get like Sony approval, but when Indy comes there, like, this is an Xbox and show PlayStation 5.
Oh, God. They'd have to stop making Xboxes, I think, before Sony would allow that one.
Would just be a complete meltdown by the internet. That's where we're at. Everybody is an Xbox. Everything is an Xbox. Except our site, which crashed over the weekend.
It's because we weren't running on an Xbox.
Yeah, we should have been running on an Xbox. Catastrophic failure, database malfunction. So all of our 15 Here's a Post gone. So that was cool to kind of wake up to. It started with, I could not... Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was just going to say, you know how many times I've like just lost everything and I just have to be like, that was...
Oh, well.
Yeah. Well,
recent example, Facebook. I just lost like anything on. Like,
yes.
I was made on. And it's like, well, moving on.
So I like texted Jeff and was like, hey, like, something's wrong with site. And he's like, it seems all right for me. Like, he could access it. And that's the thing. You could access the site, but couldn't post anything new anytime I tried to, add an image file or try to update the site, it would just be like, it would give a 500 error.
Mm.
So I got on, you know, tech support from the hosting company. They were like, that's good, kind of like Jeff was. Like, we can see it. Took a screenshot, like, your site's up. It's good. Like, yeah, but I can't do anything. They're like, oh. So then it was like another half hour of them like kind of fucking around and like, try it now. And like, that didn't work either. And I was like, all right, can we like uninstall WordPress and then maybe like restore it from a backup? They're like, we could try. And so they uninstalled WordPress. The database was just gone.
Oh no.
So we have the database of all the recordings that are uploaded. All that's there, but the posts and images were all lost. So I'm going to have to upload everything. Not upload, like just repost everything. So it's all back on the website. And that's going to take a while because that would all be manual. Yeah. So, yeah. So we'll see how fast I get to that. But the podcasts are fine. They're going to hit the feeds as normal. That took a little bit of work to reconfigure because I think Jeff and I we've been doing Recurring Nightmares for over 5 years now, Jeff.
Oh God, has it been that long?
Yeah. And I think VG Club that Paul does, I think is like now at 4 years. So the last time I had set up a new podcast feed was when we started Recurring Nightmares, and I could not remember how to do. I remembered how like I broke it down, and here's the category I select so that it goes to the right feed. I just could not remember how to create the feed. So that took about 2.5 hours to recreate the podcast feeds, but everything's good again. There's a post on there. It's like, what the fuck happened to the site? Because I put that up because I didn't know how long it was going to take to fix the feeds. But we're good. We're back. So
you just can't read anything.
Yes.
None of you like to read anyway, so it's fine.
I may be able to recover some of that through like the Internet Archive, but I'm not sure like what the value is in pulling.
My review of an obscure strategy game from 12 years ago. Yeah.
Right. Like, is somebody going to come back and read? And sometimes they do. Like, sometimes we do get weird hits on stuff that we posted a decade ago. But I'm just not sure like how much value there is in recreating all that, because it's all going to be mad. It would have to be like copied from the Internet Archive, reposted. We'll see. I will get the Hall of Fame up. Speaking of Hall of Fame, Earl, you had an idea for maybe next year's approach to the Hall of Fame.
Or at least one of them. Okay. You could do. I think it would be fun to do like one that's kind of like, we did a tournament, a March Madness one, I think, not this year, last year.
A couple years ago, yeah.
And then my idea, because I think now we're kind of getting into an era where we can actually do this properly, is like to do like 10, 20, 30. So like, mini brackets of 85, 95, and 2005 games. Because we couldn't do like 84. There wasn't a ton of games back then. But now we can.
Yeah, that sounds fun. We could we'll set that up for sometime early next year. And you mean like we'd set up kind of a bracket of games from 85, or we'd mix all the games from 85, 95, and 2005 together.
Yeah, and then like pick one of those to kind of be like the decade-ish.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we should start coming up with games to seed there to fill out those brackets. So let's. Have you guys done anything, played anything, watched anything? I say watched because I did watch some video game content on Amazon Prime. We'll get to that shortly. But did you guys do anything this week?
Yeah,
I played a lot of Path of Exile 2. Lot of Path of Exile 2.
How is that?
I. I talked about it last week. Probably was not coherent at all about it, but
you seem to like it.
Yes, I have more.
It sounds really hard from what you were saying.
Yeah, well, it was weird. By the time I talked to you guys last week, I thought it was like it's challenging in a way that is like a huge, huge positive for the game because, like, for anyone who ever thought like Diablo 4 was boring, this is the answer to that. And I know there's people on this podcast who think that. This is like, hey, it's not boring because you have to like really engage with everything. Like you have to really think about the stats that you're putting on your gear and whatnot. Like you could be losing a boss fight because you don't have enough cold resistance. And so you get to be like, well, did I have a ring somewhere in my stash that gives me like an extra bump and cold resistance? You have to learn the bosses. Like you have to like you can't just go walk in there and steamroll them like you would in Diablo, especially Diablo. I'd say Diablo 3 is the worst of this.
But can you overlevel and then steamroll?
You can overlevel and a boss that seemed very hard is now very doable. And so you might die when they have like a sliver of health left, but then you're like, all right, I know I got this if I keep at it. It's basically like that. Until after we recorded last week, I finally, like a day or two after we recorded, got a message from Sean saying like, man, the boss at the end of Act 1 is fucking me in the back of a Volkswagen. And I was like, is that a good thing? I was like, is that a good thing?
Sean hasn't been laid in a while. We don't know. I mean, maybe
like, I don't know.
He's after.
Could be fun. Sounds like could be fun. And he's like, it's very uncomfortable. I can tell you that. Anyways, I'm playing along. And like, there are bosses that are pretty hard. Like, right before the Act 1 big boss, there's a boss called the Executioner. And every once in a while, he'll say, guillotine. And a huge guillotine drops from the sky. Like, you'll see, like, a little, like, you'll see, like, it's kind of a big circle on the ground. If you're standing in that circle, and the that's where the guillotine falls, when it falls, you're not going to live. It doesn't matter how much life you have. It is a one-shot death. And even that, I was like, after a couple tries, I got a few of them down. I was like, no problem. Then I got to the Act 1 boss, and holy shit, is the Act 1 boss fucking unreal hard. Like, oh my god, dude. It just goes on and on and on. And he starts doing, like, he has two forms. He, like, goes from, like, human knight to, like, turning into a wolf. They each have their own health bar. Then part of the way, like, you know, pretty deep into the fight, all of a sudden it's like, I am just the wolf now, and I have a full new health bar. And that's what he starts doing, is like real crazy fucking attacks. And man, is it like, you know, I like finally messaged Sean when I got that. I was like, holy shit, dude. I tried him a few times. I was like, I think I'm fucked. And he's like, I finally got past him, blah, blah, blah. He does this thing late in the fight where he's like dropping, like, it's like, it looks like a bunch of like beams of light from the sky, like these blue beams all over. And when they hit the ground, it's basically cold damage. But if they hit you, they'll knock out most, if not all, of your health. Then you're frozen in place, and he drops these beams like four or five in a row. Like, you know, like a different layout will like come out across the map. So like, once you're frozen, he drops the beams again. The second beam hits you. If the first one didn't kill you, the second one's going to kill you, and you can't move because you're frozen. It's just like, it was the kiss of death for me every time. I would get him like three quarters of the way dead. He'd start doing this, and one time I would like misstep, get hit by a beam. It was fucking game over. I was like, holy fucking shit, dude. It's over, right? But Sean was kind enough to offer to help me. And he came into my game, and we fought the boss for like an hour and a half. There was like two times he got the boss to where, like, if he hit the boss one more time, It would have died. Meanwhile, me, when I was playing with Sean, every time the guy would start doing the beams, like literally like the first time he would do the beams, I would die. I was useless when we got to that point. And Sean, even though there's like very little opening to like run over and revive me, he did like once or twice like actually get to revive me. Time he revived me, and right like literally the second he revived me, a blue beam hit me and I fucking died. Like I was like, I'm so sorry. Like I just kept telling him, like,
sound like your fault. He just timed that so badly. That's Sean's fault.
Right? So what there's like. So in order to revive someone, it takes like a full 10 seconds, if not like a little long. It takes like just too long because there's no opening, like especially the boss like that. He's so aggressive and so running around. I think what Sean would do is he could until either froze him or he stunned him. And then he would immediately run over to me and like just barely, you know, once or twice he would bring me back. I finally like was like, I'm sorry, I'm wasting your time. Like, I'm literally like holding you back on this, and I'm just like, we'll try again tomorrow. The next day, I went and ran around. I leveled up once. That gave me more cold resistance. I said, Sean, let's go. We beat him the first try. And, well, near the very end of the fight, he starts dropping different beams from the sky that do like chaos damage. And those are like, have a way wider, hit effect or whatever, hitbox. And they would like, they got me. So, but like, by the time the boss killed me, Sean only had like a little bit of work to do to kill him. And like, he wiped them out. And now I'm in Act Two. And the bosses are hard now. So, like, I was telling Chris some of this stuff, and he's like, this does not sound fun. Good.
Yes, it does not sound fun.
Because that's my thought right now. It's like, none of this sounds enjoyable.
I don't know. It takes a genre I already loved, and to me, makes it so much more engaging because you're really thinking about what you have to do.
But you're a sicko. That's why.
No, I mean...
I have to say, it makes it Dark Souls for you.
I mean, some of the bosses I would compare it to that.
So for me, I don't know how you play these games, Earl, but generally I play Diablo or Torchlight or Titan Quest or like something like that. It's just like a game to kind of chill with. So having to really grind and get specific loot and then just be demoralized over and over again, that does not sound appealing.
Yeah, exactly.
You get demoralized over and over again, but then you get moralized on the back end of that. You get like, you know, vindicated.
I play these games the same way I play a Dynasty Warrior game. I just want to go and wreck stuff.
Yeah.
I just want to go in and like...
Well, I mean, you could do that. You could play Diablo 4 on normal and you'll never be challenged. But I think you'll be bored. I think like a lot of people would be bored. I like Diablo 4. I'm not trying to trash Diablo 4, but I'm saying like...
I don't think you are.
Well, because going from... Because I will still always like Diablo. I'll play Diablo 5, you know. But going from that to this, I'm like, man, they solved it. Like this... Combat feels like it matters. You're not just.
I think they solved it for what you're looking for now, Jeff. I think Diablo though has always been solved. Like, there's a reason it's as popular as it was. It was never because of the challenges,
dude. I was the only I think it's the only one on this podcast defending Diablo 4. So like, it's getting something wrong, and it got a lot of negative reaction.
I mean, and again, I would also point out, like, it's very different for me. I play these games, Torchlight, Diablo, even the original Path of Exile, for the same reason. I just play with a bunch of friends, which is also very different because with the combination of people, it's usually easier to wreck mobs because you tend to have all types of bases covered. So, again, the challenge could be worth it. I just don't know if it's... I'd be curious when it comes to like Xbox or Game Pass or whatever.
It's going to be a free game, so y'all get to try it I would guess it'll be a free game like a year from now. And it might be a different game. And in fact, I think that there's... It's going to be a different game. They've already updated the game a bunch since it's come out. Like, they are almost daily doing updates. And you know, one significant thing they did I thought was huge. Early on, you could only fast travel between waypoints. So you would have, like, if you want to fast travel, you have to go to a waypoint, stand on it, say, and then it brings up the map, and you can choose the other waypoints.
That's pretty standard.
But within a map, there's checkpoints. So, like, let's say you walk inside of a dungeon, there's like a little checkpoint inside the dungeon, and then there's like another checkpoint right before you like enter a boss arena. Well, they added now I could fast travel between the checkpoints as well, which sounds small, but it's actually like a really nice convenience that they added on top. And so there's just like little things like that all the time, but like. A lot of things I see them saying that are like, we noticed that like this is too overpowered, so we're nerfing it. And it's like, no. Like, I had an opportunity, I think, to make the bosses slightly more fair, because I just ran into this with a boss I actually just beat like minutes before this podcast, where he had this like giant flamethrower that he like uses and does massive damage, and I was able to mitigate that by putting on a bunch of fire damage, or you know, fire resistant gear. But then every once in a while he gets bored and starts chasing you around the arena and swinging his fucking flamethrower at you, like melee attacking you, and that melee attack will fucking kill you. And I'm just like, and it just feels a little cheap. Like, it's just like, okay. Eventually, he hit me once when I had a completely full health bar, and it left like this tiniest sliver. I was like, okay, maybe my stats just need to be up. But it just feels like the bosses shouldn't have moves that do like all the one shot death stuff. I think it feels cheap, because like the bosses are already challenging. It's just like, you're doing good, you slip up one little thing.
Yeah, like one shots are going to turn off like anybody that's coming to it casually. Like,
To their credit, I don't think they want to beat a casual game.
No, but if you're the free to play game, it feels unfair, that like is trying to pull people in, and you're like, people are just gonna be like, no.
From Software games, for as hard as it could be, they don't have like rules where, oh, it's a one shot death no matter what. It's like, no, they do a lot of damage with a certain thing. Maybe you need to like adjust for that. And maybe that's what's happened here. I mean,
it is early access, so.
Yeah, so it could be a different looking game. And
how many acts are in early access, Jeff?
I don't know. I think it is like the full game. It's just they're adjusting the hell out of it. I would imagine. I don't know how many. I guess I won't even guess how
there,
many.
There's supposed to be 6 acts.
Oh, wow. Total. That's a big, like, all right. So, like, I have put in a lot of time in this game, and I'm in Act 2. So that's really cool. Like, again, man, like, I just think if you love this genre, you owe it to yourself to try it. Because I think the taking away whatever you want to say about the difficulty, like, I think the combat feels really good. It's, like, really cool things, like, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but like I could lay down like a wall, you know, wall of fire.
All right. So it has, there's 6 acts in the full game. Early access has 3 acts.
That's right. I had read that. That's right. So I plan to even add to the, you know, so it is not fully complete, I guess, yet. But, and I don't know when those other acts are coming, but man, like, even like, let's just say like the 3 that are there right now, that's a huge game with a lot of, you know, gameplay to it.
The meat on the bones.
Yeah.
But it's worth trying beyond just for the difficulty, because one, I think the combat feels really good. I was going to say, you could like, you could lay down a wall of fire. That's like one of my spells. It's, you know, wall of flame. But if I shoot my wand, which I have like lightning damage with, the lightning could go through the fire, and then it's lightning and fire combined flying around the arena. And so you're doing like two damages at once. It looks really cool. Like, that's the other thing. The graphics on this game, I think, are better. Like, that's the other thing that's like crazy about this. I think it's a better game than Diablo 4. It's a better looking game. And it's going to be free to play. Like, that's like putting fucking Activision and Blizzard on notice, dude. Like, dude, they outdid you at your own game, and it's going to be fucking free. And even if you want to play it now, it's $30 as opposed to, you know, what's Diablo with the DLC? It's like over $100. Like, it's kind of wild to me that, like, I find this to be way more compelling, and it's free, or will be free when it, once it's complete.
So
and it looks great. It looks incredible.
Can you explain the level tree, or what? Hell, whatever you.
That's call the other it. Thing. The skill tree is just massive.
Yeah, that's a problem for me. Like, that was the problem with the first one. Is it's
too really? Big.
Yeah, it's like way too complex. Like, and I think Earl, you mentioned it. Like, it's a game you almost need like a build guide for.
Yes.
I think they better solve some of that. I think they may have solved some of that, because although it is a massive skill tree, it's interesting because every single class, and I think there's like six classes, all have the same skill tree. But depending on which class you like, you know, it starts from like a center, like a circle at the center, right? And there's all these branching pathways that go out in every direction. So no matter what class you have, you're going to have that skill tree. But if you choose like a warrior, it makes you start going in one direction on the skill tree that's designed for the warrior. So you'll be starting with like adding damage to physical attacks and adding armor. And like the tree comes out that way. Like, let's say, you know, that direction starts on the left side of the circle, and you build out from there. Now, you could eventually get the things that are like intended for other classes, but you have to build your way all the way around this massive skill tree. Am I making any sense? Does this like make any sense? Like, you start from the center, but depending on your class, you have to work out a different way from the center.
Yes.
And it's fairly straightforward. It's like, I'm going along as, you know, as this witch, and I'm like, and the witch is kind of like a necromancer. And I'm like, okay, I'm upgrading my spell damage, and I'm upgrading what my minions, what their damage does, you know, like I'm just kind of focusing on that. So that's what I'm playing solo, and I'm playing the game as well with my wife. And in that game, I'm a warrior and she is a sorceress. And like, yeah, I'm all like, I like really focused on just doing damage at first. Now I'm focusing on building up my armor. Another interesting thing too, is no matter what class you like, so my warrior can do like several spells that my witch can do, because you just pick up these gems that give you the skill. And so like, you don't need to have any specific stats or anything to like, you know, my warrior does wall of fire. Like, I on the skill tree, I'm not really building anything that helps that as much, but you can upgrade the spell itself through finding like support gems that upgrade the spell. So it's like interesting, like, yeah, you start like, you know, there's some very distinct classes, but like pretty much my witch can do everything that my wife can do as a sorceress, except my witch also has fucking army I'm rolling with. I don't know. That's the other thing I think is really interesting. Like, I think if like you're into the genre, I think the skill tree, the way you build your character and all that is like, I don't find it. Again, I did try Path of Exile 1 and I found it overwhelming. Just the first time you see that fucking skill tree, it's like, oh my God. And this is the same thing. When you first see it, you're like, oh my God. But as you start playing through it and start progressing, it's like fairly straightforward. Like, one, you'll only have like a couple directions you could go at first. And I want this. I want to be able to do more damage or whatever. But then it's also, you know, beyond the skill tree, how you build your character out in terms of the gems you get and stuff. I just find like the progression like system in it really fucking awesome. I didn't play enough of Path of Exile 1 to say, oh, this is a huge improvement or whatever, but I could say I find it to be really interesting and, yeah, more interesting than fucking Diablo for sure. It makes Diablo feel like very rigid in comparison. I don't know, man. I fucking love it.
Good.
I'm obsessed with it despite, like, you know, already twice in Act 2, I've run into bosses that I found to be pretty hard and took me a few tries, but I get past it and I'm like, hell yeah, let's see what else is next. Like, I don't know. I think it's super compelling ARPG shit, dude. Like, if you're into the genre, you gotta try it. And when it's free, why not? You know?
Yeah. Once it's free, I guess there's no real reason to like not try it. I'm not gonna drop $30 on it right now.
Mm-hmm.
But
especially when it'll be free when it's done.
Right.
But like, and you know, a better game and more X. I forgot that I had read that. Oh, it's 3 now and 3 are coming. I wonder how long we're supposed to wait for the second 3. I don't know. By the time I get
when it's fully released is when they'll drop those other 3. They're not going to want people in a game that is going to be free to play and live service. They're not going to want you having finished it when they hit 1.0.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, as it is with the 3X, I will get probably 100+ hours out of it because I'm playing 2 different games at once right now, and I wouldn't mind trying the other classes too. So, ooh. Yeah, it's dude, it was a good purchase for me. Ask Sean; he'll tell you.
Earl, you said you had played something this week?
Yes. So, okay, well, I played 2 things-ish. The first one is brand new, well-ish. It was on PlayStation Plus, and my friend asked me to pick it up, and I got my PlayStation Plus because he wanted to try it. Death Note Kyo Within. So, I don't know if any of you are anime fans.
I know Death... I've never seen it, but I know it. There was a movie?
Yes, the Netflix movie with
I saw it.
It's a ton of fun. People hate it because it's not true, but they're all having a time of their life. That's a different conversation. It's
the Death Note movie. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
See, Jeff is hating.
I'm not hating. I don't really remember it. I don't remember. Like,
damn it, Jeff! You're such a hater.
I don't remember thinking it was a ton of fun. I remember thinking it was kind of.
It was very cheesy and over the top. It's my type of
opinion. Yeah.
But yeah, so Death Note Code Within is an Among Us type game. So it's kind of one of those hidden roles. You go around doing tasks and you're trying to suss out who may be guilty, who may not be. The big gimmick here is it's more of an investigation. So you have 2 teams. You have the good guys and the bad guys. The good guys can run around, you know, doing tasks, doing chores, helping solve minor crimes, and, you know, and being observant and stuff like that. The bad guys, you have to pick IDs. So you have to get kills. Because you can't write anybody's name in a Death Note if you don't know their name. So in order to get people's names in this game, you have to steal their ID. And if you steal their ID... You then, so there's a team. So one person is, I'm sure, I don't know. I think it's L or whoever is the holder of the Death Note can write the name. So like, you might have a team of 3. So 2 people can go steal the IDs. They have to then go find this person to get them the ID so they can write in a Death Note. And if you use the Death Note, you take it out in public. People can, you know, so you have to find a time to like, do all this without people on your case. And when you write their name in the Death Note, it takes over and it kills them and people can find your body and stuff like that. You know, like if somebody steals your ID or somebody gets close enough to steal your ID, you can note it in your book. It's like when you die, somebody can get your note and be like, oh, I was in contact with X, Y, and Z. So it would put them on suspicion because they were... you know, near you, and somehow somebody found your name. So it can only be you or something like that. I was not great. It was my first time actually using the PlayStation 5 in that capacity. Did not realize that the controller had a built-in mic. Did not realize it had a built-in mute function. So that was very fun because I was.
That's great.
Yeah. So I was the old man in the game the first time. People were like, "Why is he telling his strategy?" I'm like, "Oh God, am I telling my strategy?" I figured it out. But the game is fun. I mean, I don't know how much it actually is. I mean, if it wasn't on PlayStation Plus, I probably.
It's, $10, and it's currently $7.50 on Steam.
Okay. One thing, because you are, I mean, I guess, you know, save money. You are kind, you're essentially pawns, like you are your little figures, and they have the creepiest eyes, like these big bug eyes that they zoom in on. And it's so weird. It's so very weird looking. They have aesthetics. I'm like, oh no, this is just creepy again. But yeah, it's fun. I would probably play a couple of rounds a night. It's not a game I'm gonna go out of my way to tell people to check out. But you know, if you want to, if you're tired of Among Us, want to try something slightly different.
And you said it's part of PlayStation Plus?
I think it was. I think might have been over at the start of the month. I don't know. And then the other game I talked about last week was Mario and Luigi Brothership. Now I'm close to the 20 hours into the game. Overall, I'm enjoying my experience, but am I 20 hours? I don't know. But I feel like they are really, really, really show-walking the game. I can't even say dungeons because like nothing in the game is that big. The game setup is that you are transported to a different dimension for a land called Concordia. And in order to, like, you go to the little islands and you do the islands and you pull them back together so you can kind of reform the sand mass or whatever. But like so many of them are maybe 20 minutes, half an hour, or maybe it just seems that way because one, the first time you go there, part of the island's always going to be cut off because you have to go get the plug, which is kind of the power source of the island, and pull that, and that's how you reconnect it, and then some bulbs open up and stuff like that. So it's usually like a mad dash there, but then there's a lot of talking in between, and yeah, and then I think, you know, it took me about 8 or 9 hours to get my first brother's attack, which is kind of the series's big kind of like special moves. It's been there since day one. You know, it's always a move that uses Mario and Luigi's in some combination. I think the same one's always the first one, which is the bro shell, which is Mario kicks a red shell, Luigi kicks a green shell. It does damage, whatever. And then I think maybe hour 12 or 13. You get the other big part of the battle system, which is the new one for this game, battle plugs, which are modifiers for your battle combat style, which is I actually do like the system. But I'm like, oh, and then I think, and then you get bro traversal moves. I forget what they're actually called, but like Mario and Luigi can turn into a UFO to, you know, kill his gas. It can turn into a ball to get into small holes. I just got the second one of those. Maybe within the last hour and a half of playing the game. Like, you folks are really just like doling this stuff out at the slowest rate possible. That said, I like the animation. I think the animation style is really great. And the combat still remains very fun and engaging. So I'm like, I'm sticking with it for that. But like, the game feels very slow and frustrating at times because I'm like, just kind of give me stuff and open it up, not this whole. We're going to really, really make sure you're in these fundamentals so that we can introduce something new to you like 2 hours later. So, yeah.
Cool. Tony, you play anything this week?
Not a ton of stuff. I was traveling this weekend. I did play more indie.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Which I'm still really enjoying. Sorry, Jeff.
Jeff, did you stop playing it?
Did you stop playing?
I did, because it's just... It's hard to play that when you're like addicted to a game that is just like so purely like gameplay. Like, I don't know. Like, indie is like a whole different mood. It's a whole different type of game.
Yeah. And, oh, yeah, it absolutely is. I kind of like how relaxed it is. Like, it's clearly an adventure game. Like, if this game had been made 20 years ago, it would literally be a point and click adventure game.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like, it's like putting that type of game into a first person.
Yeah,
Indiana Jones like, movie.
They have some stuff like thrown into it. Like the combat's kind of weird. Doesn't really make sense. There's been some times where like I've wandered into buildings and like beaten everyone up. I wasn't supposed to be in that building yet, and then I come later and I'm able to easily escape from a place that I wasn't supposed to be able to because I've beaten up all the enemies already.
Let's talk about this last week that I felt like the stealth in it is like really inconsequential. Yeah. Like you can just like ignore it. Like, oh, like they'll notice you. You turn a corner and just like that's it. It's like okay.
They like remember you were they remember you were there, but they don't pursue you. They like
it is
give
such
up.
Soft. Like it is like again, I would go through whole areas. They're like, this is a restricted area, and I'm just fucking waltzing through the area, like not giving a fuck. If someone notices
but
me,
like,
I'll throw something at them. Like fuck
but
you.
Like, that's kind of the point, though. It's not that kind of game. Like, it's not Assassin's Creed, right? It's not like a game where you're wandering through an open world in a combat sense. Like, you're just moving from point to point, like having these cool adventure-y things, solving puzzles, and like... It's supposed to be chill.
And maybe a Nazi sees you and you punch him.
Yeah. That's what this game is. It's not gonna be like
a
great combat simulator. And you're trying to like impose something over it that isn't that. Like yes, you are a little bit.
No, it is.
You're trying to force it to be something that it's not. Like that's.
No, it is. It is. There are stealth areas in that game. There's a restricted area. You have to be stealthy, and I guarantee you.
No. But it's not. You're going with like what you personally conceive to be stealth is, where you have to remember that this game is making you be Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones stealth. Which is a completely different experience.
Yeah, which is like comical stealth almost. Like, he's always knocking something over and getting caught. And
yeah, it's stupid and it's dumb and it's fun. And that's kind of.
I guarantee you, there are people out there playing the stealth sections with the utmost like they're trying to do it right, not realizing it doesn't fucking matter. Because, like, you could just fucking... Like,
Jeff. I think we learned in November there's a lot of really dumb people out there.
No, I don't think that's dumb. I think it's like taking the game on its word, and I think that the stealth is just badly, poorly done. I just think it's just like... Why even do it like that, then? Just make it like you just... Don't want to make it stealth at all. Make it just okay. You kill the guy, but like they don't have good. It doesn't have good action. So,
wait, you're not supposed to be mass murderer Indiana Jones, right? Like
I'd be better.
No, it wouldn't though. Like that would be Uncharted at that point.
Yes,
it'd be Wolfenstein. Make it Wolfenstein.
But that's not indie.
That's not what you're playing.
Like Indiana Jones doesn't kill everybody. Like yeah, he'll get in some fist fights. He'll maybe shoot a couple people, but he's not gonna like. He doesn't go through like murdering whole battalions of Nazis and Mussolini soldiers and.
I would argue that I don't think the combat encounters in this game are any good at all. I think that the strengths of the game are like the adventuring aspects of it. And again, I have kept that on my hard drive because I'm like, you know what? When I'm done with Path of Exile, I'd like to give it a more fair shot. I got through the whole, what the fuck is it called? Like the mummy cat mission?
The cat mummy, yes.
Yeah, which fucking went on forever. It felt like an entire game.
It really does. Like, so you spent like 12 hours at the Vatican. I've spent 12 hours playing the game, and I'm on the final section of the... And I've done everything.
Okay.
Like, I've done all the side missions. The only thing I haven't done are the mysteries, which are like...
Tony. Has Tony passed the cat mummy?
I'm still in the cat mummy.
Okay, see, the cat movie's fucking long, Chris. It's fucking long.
Tony hasn't played mission either, though.
I've only played the game for 4 hours, though. So let's not like.
Okay, but that's one mission, dude. That's really long one mission.
It's the act. That's not the mission. That's the act.
Yes.
Like, there's a bunch of like submissions within the cat mummy. The cat mummy is not it's not like a level. It is like, that is the act. When that is over, you then move on to Giza in Egypt. And so like, and then that starts a whole thing that there are submissions within that, but that is the act. That's the arc for that one.
It was long.
There are missions in the Vatican. There are submissions. I think they're called field work.
Yeah, but you don't. Yeah. I'm just saying, just the cat mummy, which is a quest. It's long,
it's
dude.
The main quest. You're supposed to do a bunch of different things in it. Like, it's, you're supposed to go
fucking long.
Well, I mean, part of it too is like it's like teaching you the relationship between the quests and like these other things that aren't quests.
Yeah, but you don't have to. Like, you don't have to. There was like a boxing match thing that I didn't engage with because I was just like, okay,
That's completely off. Like, that's not.
It's a side mission. The main mission.
Not even a side mission. That's not even like, it is just like a side activity you can do. It's not a side quest. It's not like
you need to get in disguise to get in there and this and that.
If you go right, there are things you can do. Like that are outside of that, but there are like, there's your main quest and there's like a bunch of different
subset things that like you're doing to in the service of that. Great. I'm just saying, it's so long, dude. It's just like, I felt like I was in the Vatican for fucking ever. And like Tony said, he's played 4 hours. I was at least 4 hours in the fucking Vatican. And I found the Vatican to be like really large and confusing to
get. Oh, then like, I hate Giza.
because it's the
fucking desert.
Well, it was crazy though, because like I had been over parts of the Vatican so many times that, but it still was like, I don't know where I am. Like, I'm just like following the little map showing me where to go.
Well, you can also hit the little arrows though to fly.
No, that's what I'm saying. But like, I'm just saying, like, you would think that having like backtracked over every portion of this map, like that you would have learned it. I would learn it, but it's just so large that I was just like, oh my God. And I'm not saying that's a negative or positive. I found that place like daunting to like wrap your head around.
I do think you may enjoy. So after you get through Giza, you'll end up in the Himalayas. And that is a more straightforward level. There's no like side stuff. Like, it is, you're gonna like move through the level like you would a normal video game. It's not this big open area. And then so is the next one after that. Then from there, it then gives you the third hub area. But like, there are like certain areas that are, you know, more straightforward.
So you said you're at the end, so it goes Vatican, Giza, Himalayas, and then there's what, one more area you're saying? And
there's another. There's another, like, it's more of like a you know, you. I don't want to spoil it because it's,
no, yeah.
But you end up in another area, and then you end up in the final area.
Okay.
But like the Himalayas and that other area are, they are shorter areas, like maybe, you know, 45 minutes, hour tops. Like, there's no sub quests or anything to do there.
You say you're there at the end after about a dozen hours or so?
I'm in the final. I just got to the final area. So I probably have, like, if it stays through, like, the way...
15 hours?
Yeah, I think, like, 3-4 hours in this final area doing all the field work stuff and the mission. So probably, like, 20... probably end up being about it currently says like 12 hours and 33 minutes. So,
and you've said you've done 16, everything
16 to 18, everything except the mysteries, which are like the really little like dinky.
So yeah, not like a, you know,
it's like probably end up being like, you know, 18, 20 hour game.
Yeah. So I feel like once I am fully exhausted with Path of Exile, which may take a while, I've kept that on my hard drive and it's taking up precious space.
It's big. And it's a big, big item.
There is enough there. You know, like I said last week, when I'm doing the puzzling and kind of like navigating the environment and using the whip, I think there's something there that I kind of like. You know, there's elements of it that, like, you know, definitely remind me of like Resident Evil. But Resident Evil has, like, I think, better combat than Indiana Jones does. But
you don't need to engage with the combat. Like, I didn't pick up a gun until the Himalayas. Like, I did not need
to pick up a gun.
I didn't need to utilize a gun at any point.
Bro, I got spotted at one point in the Vatican, and I fucking unloaded my whole pistol into every guy that walked in, and one of them dropped a machine gun type, like submachine gun type thing, and I was blowing people away. I was like, hell yeah. It was like a brief burst. I was like, oh yeah, these guys make shooters. I really appreciate them for like not just doing that. It's a hugely ambitious game. Again, there's things I don't like about it, but there's also things I really did. So I'm keeping it around. I do plan to play through it at some point.
Once you get through the area after the Himalayas, you'd be like, I fucking hate this because there's like 10 minutes of cutscenes. Like,
yeah.
I did kind of expect
going in the type of game it is. Like, there's going to be
big cutscenes
and stuff. But God, like, I'm sorry. Even if you're a big AAA game and you have the big cutscenes in your story and, you know, you got your voice actors, and, you know, I get it. But, like, they got to learn how to start the games faster than they do. Like, you got to throw me into a scenario to get me hooked on the gameplay as you're doing the story. And so many of these games, and this is a perfect example of it, where you're just, like, the game starts with you just walking with a guy and talking. And he goes so slow. And it's just, like...
It's funny to hear you say that, though, because like I've seen so many people say that like that is like the thing that did hook them.
Oh yeah, we're reliving the movie.
Yeah, you redid Raiders. Like that, like people seem to really enjoy that like tutorial level.
I just
Dasha has hell of a drug.
I think that taking that out of it, just these type of games. If Spider-Man was another example, it's like you're doing so much heavy like story setup early on that I'm not having fun, and it's like it turns me off. Like to a game that like when you get into the gameplay like Spider-Man as well, it's like the gameplay of Spider-Man is actually very fun, but you're just like early on you're not letting me do that enough, and they got to figure out how to just get to the fucking game. And you could build the story stuff as you go along, and I'm actually doing something compelling and fun at the same time. And like, this is, in my opinion, not an example of a game that's figured that out. I don't know what I can't tell you when that has, but like the best games I think lately that like do something like, you know, Breath of the Wild. You wake up in a cave, you walk out, you're off to the races. But that is also not super story heavy.
Yeah, and that's one that I'm like, I wish there was a little more fucking direction.
But there's gotta be. I'm sorry, you just gotta get to the fun shit faster. Like when I play a game, it's like so disappointing. Your first night, you wait for it to unlock. It's 11 o'clock or whatever, you know, by you guys midnight. I want to get, you know, a little bit in on this, see how it is. And it's like you're literally spending like the first 45 a movie. It's like, come on, dude. Anyways, not to shit on your parade, I'll let you guys chat up.
God damn it, Jeff. We've never done this to you. Never, ever. We've never been like,
no, yeah, I know.
That Jeff loves. And
no, yeah. I mean, like, I think for Jeff, like, it's not a game that works. Like, I don't have any problem with the way the game started.
Nope.
Or how Spider-Man started either. But
it's just too slow. Like,
I mean, you guys aren't
bored watching this shit? Like,
no.
Why? Like, dude, you're playing the scene from a movie. You've seen the movie. Like, I don't... What's interesting to it?
Now I get to play through the scene that I've seen.
Why is minutes of reliving a scene from a movie that probably was like 2 minutes in the movie? I don't get why that's fun.
It's not 45 minutes either.
Dude, it is not. It's in the movie, it's like 2 minutes. And here, it's definitely not 2 minutes.
It's not 2 minutes, but it is not. It's not a 45-minute start.
Earl?
Not paid it, so.
Earl's turned off. He's like, I don't know. I don't want to fight.
Earl likes fun games.
I just want to sit down and actually have time. But I do feel like as much of it, I feel like I might be on, but we'll see. I hope we get to play it over the break. My 2 days off.
Yep, be interested to see where you fall on it, Earl. Tony, that was it on your end as well.
I mean, more War Tales. I'm actually like really sad.
Camp Mummy goes on too long.
The War Tales. It had a huge expansion come out this past week, but unfortunately it's not out on Xbox yet, which is where I'm playing the game. So
no.
Fingers crossed that like it actually comes to Xbox at some point in the future. It's just weird that it did not.
Yeah, that is strange that they didn't that they're not keeping them in tandem.
Yeah.
Jeff, did you end up playing anything besides Path of Exile?
What happened?
Did you play anything besides Path of Exile this week?
Just Balatro.
We all know about Balatro.
Yeah. Wait, what's Balatro? Never heard of it.
Try it out.
I heard about it. You'll hear about it when we do Game of the Year
conversation. Yes, a couple weeks, so we will be Balatro will be talked about, I am sure. Only other thing I really played was a bunch of Call of Duty multiplayer. They are doing a Christmas event currently. Jeff, has this happened with you when you play, like it'll do an update and you come back and all your settings are fucked up on your playlists?
I had it happen once, I think, and it was basically that they had activated whatever new like maps, you know, would pertain to like whatever modes, you know what I mean? So I just actually I usually try these, I'll be seeing new maps, but then I quickly go back. Dude, I am first off, I've not played the game at least a week and a half now. So I didn't know about this Christmas event, damn it. But I am kill confirmed only now. I'm
really you even dropped Team Deathmatch.
Yes, because I'm like, why just play Team Deathmatch when you could play in my opinion, I think kill confirmed is better. It's kind of just the same thing, but with a little spice, you know.
Yeah, my problem with kill confirmed
is the people not knowing.
If you end up on a team where all they want to do is get kills and they're not confirming or trying to deny kills,
you're leaving points on the board.
Yep. Yeah. Or they're just like, you know, yeah, they're just like, oh, I'm going to snipe. Well, there's
no good. Yeah. Don't,
like, unless you have a team that is like willing to run out there and get the tags that are on the other side of the map now, you moron. Stop it. Knock it off. I put Team Deathmatch in there to spice it up every once in a while, just in case. So the Christmas event they have going on right now is when you get kills, not every kill, I don't know how exactly it works, but they'll drop like these little elves, and it's kind of like a dog tag, and you pick it up, and then like as you collect them, they then become a currency that you can use to unlock like new weapons or new perks or like stuff like that,
like Christmas themed stuff.
So there was Christmas. I haven't opened anything yet. So there was another event that just ended, and that was all Christmas themed stuff. So like, you know, your little what are those? Your little nameplate could be Christmas themed, or you could have loading screens that are Christmas themed, or your guns could have like Christmas wrapping paper.
I gotta get back into this.
And so I don't know what's in this event. I just know that like you pick up these little elves and their currency, and then you use those elves to buy. Like there's a you go to the event page, and there's a bunch of presents that are wrapped, and like, so if you pick up the one in the top corner, like, is costs 5 elves, and if you spend it on that, it'll unlock whatever's underneath that, and it kind of tells you what it is, like, so if you want the weapon, it's 50, you need 50 of these elves, but if you want, like, the little nameplate thing, it's only 5. So I'm wondering if they're all Christmas themed. It says it's holiday themed, and since they're all wrapped, I'm assuming they are. So it's kind of cool. And also, they've turned Nuketown. It's called Holiday Nuketown currently. So yeah. They've added snow and added Christmas lights, and it's kind of neat to run in there. But also, you have to play the Nuketown variant. So my problem with that is, like, you end up with some of the objective based stuff that I don't want to play.
Yeah, I hear you. Have you prestiged?
No, I'm level 38, 39 now.
I think I might have been, I thought I was like level 40 or something. Again, it's not like I quit, but I definitely, it's not my recent rotation. It's not on my home screen. That's for fucking sure. It's basically just been Bellatro and Path of Exile, but I still really enjoy it. I still have that downloaded. I have these games just taking.
It's another huge one.
Massive.
I will probably play until I prestige, which I think is level 55. So
it's cool though. Like
it is.
Like that Christmas thing. It's like, oh man, I've been missing out. I should have come. Like they are. Really like play. I mean, I get that this is like a thing in games now, so obviously nothing new.
Yeah,
but it's neat that Call of Duty love Christmas shit. That's man.
Yeah, I'm sure Earl, you still play Fortnite regularly.
Yeah.
Are they doing their Christmas theme thing?
They started their three things. They started the sort of map. For usually in the winter, like half the map is now snowy covered. The other thing, they have not started, I think they start tomorrow. They tend to do like a 70s, you have like a new log, you all know different stuff. Mm-hmm. But the big get this year is they're adding Mariah Carey from All I Want from Christmas Is You into the game.
That's funny.
Yes, apparently I have not seen it. There is an ice block somewhere on the island that is thawing, and it will be revealed that it's her. And then you can unlock the character skin. So,
oh, that's goofy.
Yeah, I have no idea what the game is anymore. But there you go.
Yeah,
you love it. You love it. You can't get enough of it.
Oh, I enjoy the game. I just mean like marketing that to somebody, being like, yeah. You know, like, they're adding Godzilla in, like, 2 weeks, but until then, Mariah Carey's gonna be unfrozen so that you can unlock her. And also, Baymax is shooting the gun, so...
It's pretty wild that you'll be able to, you'll be able to play Fortnite as Mariah Carey.
Yes.
Game has just lost all meaning.
You could team her up with Ariana Grande and, I wanna say, Lady Gaga? There's another pop star in there as well.
The Weeknd has skins.
The Weeknd, Snoop Dogg, Eminem. They were all big last season. It's so weird. It's the weirdest ones for me are RG. I have Bianca Belair and I think Becky Lynch because they had like the two WWE skins. It's such a, because I keep all my skins on random. Just so I, you know, like, at some point you get so many. I'm not going to say
you can actually utilize them.
Yes. Like, you know, tonight I ran some games as Shredder, and then I think as Ariana Grande. At some point, like, I'm reminded, like, oh yeah, Predator was in this game at some point. yeah, it's all over the face.
Well, also all over the place is Amazon's new anthology series, Secret Level, which is all animated episodes based on video games. Earl, did you get a chance to watch any of it?
I did. I watched some of them just so, you know, you wouldn't be talking to the air. And you watched all of them, right?
I did, yes.
Okay, we have to start off with Pac-Man.
Yep, that one I did not like.
It was
fucking weird.
Body horror.
Yeah.
It was so strange. I was like, oh, it's kind of... No, I can't even give it credit there. It was weird. I don't know whose idea this was. It was not good. It was... The animation is... Okay. It's an anthology, so I get... No, it doesn't have to be, though. Like, I don't like that almost everything... And to be fair, I only saw, I think, 4 or 5 of them. And we'll get to which ones I've seen in a bit. But, like, they all kind of look very similar. And I thought, like, the whole point would be to have a style, you know, unique. So that there's no story in between them.
No, they're all individual storylines. And yes, they mostly all do look pretty similar stylistically. Like, I think the Sifu one, which is another one I did not like, does have a different kind of visual look to it a little bit. And Spelunky has
Spelunky. That one's short. I saw the first one, which is Dungeons and Dragons,
mm-hmm.
which felt like a pilot for a TV show because it just kind of ends. Well, sorry, it doesn't end. They're standing up against the big bad, and that's when it ends.
Yes, about
to fight the dragon. I saw a Sifu, which made me think like, oh, I know about this game, but I don't know this game. Because I didn't really, I mean, I don't know if that's the premise of the game, that you die, you get resurrected with more skills.
I believe so. I think it's a roguelike.
Okay. But you, I like the idea that you die, and during your resurrection era or phase, which is honestly seconds in the real world, but it's like years and years of training in that time. And I like that he aged like 60 years, and spoilers by the end of that show. I will say, of the ones I watched, my favorite, and I think because it was so basic, was Mega Man.
Mega Man was fun. Yeah, it was cute.
Yes, it was cute. Very simple, very basic. It was a tease at the end, but I'm like, yeah, this works out. You got Dr. Wily, you got Dr. Light, you got Rock. He's going on his quest. There you go. Easy peasy. Pac-Man gonna give me nightmares for years to come.
Oh God.
It is, I think we talked briefly about it last week. Jeff mentioned, that it was shown at the Game Awards. The new Pac-Man game. What was it called? Shadow
something. It's like, I can't wait to play that fucking.
Yeah, it's a Metroid type game. Shadow Labyrinth. That is what this episode in Secret Level is.
Oh, that's what you guys are talking about. I just went away for a second.
Yeah, and it is nightmarish. You're absolutely correct, Earl. It's so weird. What was the other one that you watched?
So it was Mega Man, Sifu, Dungeons and Dragons, and Pac-Man. So it might have been those four.
Okay.
I wanted to check out Concord, but I think I ran out of time before the show started. Just to see, again, I think Concord would just be funny because, again, I don't really. And I think I wanted to check out Spoiler King, I would do that. But yeah, I mean, the positive, the overall positive is, as far as I can tell, nothing here is over like 20 minutes. I think.
Yeah, they're all very short.
At most like 15 minutes.
Spelunky, I think, is 6 minutes long.
They're very
easy. I heard there's a longer one that is good, and I don't think it's any of the ones that you mentioned, Earl.
There's a few that are like they're all under 20 minutes. Nothing goes past 18, I think.
Okay. What's some of the other ones that you guys did not mention just there?
Earl, you mentioned Dungeons & Dragons, Sifu, Mega Man, and Pac-Man, right?
Yeah.
New World, which is, I think, an MMO. That one is about a king that Amazon crash lands. Yeah, it's an Amazon game. They crash land on this island, yeah. And basically, like, you die. Like, you can't die. on this island. So like you die, but you are, you know, you respawn back where you started. It's cute enough, I guess. Fine. Unreal Tournament. I really like that one. It was, it kind of puts these robots against.
I think that was the one I heard was like really good.
It's really neat. That these robots, like they're fighting in this gladiator tournament against other people, and like we're trying to squash the robot rebellion, but they're doing it like live on television, and the robots are learning as like you're supposed to kind of sympathize with the robots by the end of it, and the people running the Unreal Tournament are, you know, they're bad people, they're painted as the villains. And ultimately, the robots kind of like overtake the game center and are able to revolt. Basically, it's very well done. I think it's, and it looks neat, but as Earl said, they all kind of look the same. Warhammer 40K, that one I think has a very cool visual style. Warhammer is really neat looking. There's just no story here. Like it's just combat. Them fighting against these weird kind of space creature things. Pac-Man Crossfire, which is, I think, none of us played it. I think it came out last year and I think it's already gone.
Oh, so it's with Concord.
It's fast.
Huh?
Yeah. not as fast as Concord, but, yeah, that one's a neat like action because it kind of like modern warfare type thing. You're following a group of mercenaries, and another group of mercenaries are trying to evac a like high value target. It's like really good action, but you know, it's whatever. Armored Core has one. That one I thought was really neat. They got Keanu Reeves to be the main character. Tells a pretty neat story. Looks cool. Jeff, you'd have to watch it to let me know if that's how Armored Core actually plays. Because if it is, I'd be like, that's fucking awesome. But
Armored Core plays how you think it plays. It's pretty... It did like 5 or 6 missions in. It got pretty hard.
Yeah, so. It got real hard, yeah.
I think I deleted it at some point to make space. I was just like, whatever. I thought it was neat. And like... If you didn't say it was from software, you might not know. Like it just feels like the
cool mech game.
Again, I think I compared it to like it just feels like something like Battle Tanks, which is like super action oriented. Like,
yeah,
complete a level. Here's your mission: kill these 3 things. In some ways, kind of like a fight combat game. It's just like blow these 3 things up. That's your mission, you know.
The Outer Worlds had an episode. I thought that one was pretty good. It's a bit depressing at the end of it, but if you guys remember anything about The Outer Worlds, like the way the world there exists, there's no good choices in that world and everything kind of sucks. Although it all looks really neat. This one's pretty funny. It has some decent writing to it. Ends on a kind of like a depressing note, but getting to that point, pretty funny. Earl said Mega Man already. That one was fun. Exodus, which is a game that's not out yet. It is, I think they just revealed the gameplay trailer for it today. I thought this short was really good. Tells a really cool story. And sets up the animation for this was done by Blur, who has done a bunch of like cutscenes and stuff.
I think they did all of them, didn't they?
Not all. Like, there's another one. Ilsorium has done some of them. And
okay.
In fact, I don't see Blur. Blur did the Warhammer one and the Unreal one. Yeah, they're not all done by the same studio. Digic Pictures did a couple.
Okay.
Axis Studios. Yeah. So, a few different ones. Exodus looks really cool, though. I watched the gameplay trailer today. It kind of looks like Mass Effect. And it's by Mass Effect, but by BioWare and Bungie veterans. It's like a studio that's filled with those people. So kind of excited for that game. And if it matches what they do in this short, I think could be pretty cool. Spelunky. I really like that one. It's cute. It is only like 6 minutes long, I think, but tells a really like neat story that ties into the kind of roguelike nature of that game. And like you'd think, oh, that like that this doesn't make sense. Like how are they gonna make Spelunky into something that works? They do a pretty good job with it. Concord, that one super fun, and the fact that they decided to make a game kind of like Overwatch-ish makes zero sense, because what they build here is like kind of this cool heist crew, like criminal enterprise type thing, and it's a fun episode, you know, cool kind of like action. The characters are fun, and they like, you know, have quips and shit, and then you've realized that Concord was a fucking Overwatch type hero shooter.
Which you didn't know, because nobody knows anything about that game.
That's true. It's already gone. So,
yeah.
I can't believe I got an episode of the show. It's so
well,
weird.
I mean, it's very much, it's such a weird, eclectic mix. Because, like, yes, it's, I mean, Amazon has a game or two. It's like games coming out, games that were coming out, and then games, like, I mean, when was the last time we had a new Mega Man? Or
that one's super weird, right?
There has been, right? Hasn't there?
It's been a while for Mega Man.
It would have been 12.
Yeah, we had that Mighty Number 9, which was like Secret Mega Man.
Number 9 is almost a decade old.
The last Mega Man game was 11, and that was 2018.
Yeah, okay. So that's a while now, but yeah, it's still sort of recent.
That wouldn't even be this generation.
And then the one before that was Mega Man 10 was 2010. So
yeah,
it's not dormant, but it's not actively worked on.
But it's like I mean honestly speaking, if we all came up with 10 unique IPs to put in an anthology, I don't think we would have hit on half of this, is because it's not what I would think of.
Oh, absolutely not.
It's really like weird grab bag.
There was one called Honor of Kings. I don't know what the hell that is.
That was the second episode. I'm like, what is this?
Tony knows what it is. It's one of Tony's
absolutely
games.
Not. I don't know anything. Not,
I, did, not. I did look it up. It is a MOBA, which I don't think any of us play.
Oh.
Well, it's a MOBA on mobile.
Yeah, that too. It's a mobile MOBA.
Yes. Okay. That's why none of us, I don't know what that is.
I don't think we play MOBAs to start with, but yeah, the fact that it's on mobile definitely isn't helping things.
So yeah, I assume part of it was, and this is what I was gonna say earlier. It's like clearly some companies pay to kind of like for marketing, but from the ones I've seen, like, none of them really market the games. And I don't mean like at the end, like here's the truth. Like, I don't know. Again, maybe to the ones I saw, I don't care. Like, there's nothing that's like, oh man, now I want to play a Mega Man game. Definitely not playing a Pac-Man game after that.
But yes, that was nightmarish.
Well, yes, I'd play a Pac-Man game. I'm not going to play a Pac-Man game because I saw that.
Right. And the last one was called Playtime. It's a Sony one. It's like a PlayStation centric one. You could remove all the PlayStation shit from it though, and it would also be fine. Like this girl, she's a bike courier, and in this world they've gamified everything, so like you doing your job is kind of gamified, and if you do a good job, like you'll get an unlock for your bike or whatever. And so she like delivers the package at the beginning, and she unlocks a new skin for her bike. And then some shady dude like gives her a new package, and it's, you know, that's not how you're supposed to get packages in this world. And turns out it's like this creature thing that fights against the system. And as she's trying to escape with this thing, like Kratos shows up because the little robot with her is trying to stop her from breaking away from the system, and is just like manifesting all this weird PlayStation shit, like a Colossus. The Helldivers show up, but you could remove any of the PlayStation shit from it and it would probably still work. You could put anything there. So like, I don't even think it really sells PlayStation either, Earl. It's just like,
it sells nothing. It's just a complete waste.
Here's some PlayStation shit, I guess. I don't know. It was neat idea. I don't know how it did. Like, I didn't see a ton of people talking about it. So I don't know if we'll get a season two, but very strange. Some are good, some not. That's generally any anthology series, though. So. All right. Well, I think that's it for us. I don't. This might be our last one for the year. It's like,
oh,
the, yeah. Well, because what's day after Christmas next week? Boxing. I don't know what you guys are doing. If you're around, we can record.
Idea. No idea. Yeah. People are asking me, are you recording? I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, before we wrap, is anybody going to see the Blue Blur this weekend?
No.
Not this weekend, but we may go see it on Christmas Eve. We normally go to a movie.
I was debating that. I don't know.
There's I want to go see a movie because I'm on vacation next week, and I'm like, I looked at the movie lineup. I'm like, yeah, there's
rough. It's rough.
It's like, I guess there's Nosferatu, but like, yeah. I could totally wait for that at home. Like, it's nothing. I'm like,
and maybe. I mean, it's not where I pay attention to, I guess. But yeah, I don't know a lot of Oscar movies right about now, because it's right. Like
Christmas Day, I'll be one there.
Yeah, because they normally hit Christmas Day. Year, so they hit kind of around this time.
Everyone just watch Carry On Netflix again. We'll be good.
It's on my list to watch this weekend.
Fine, I'm assuming, Earl, did you watch it?
Yeah, I was so.
Yeah, I think everybody watched it like right away. It's
enjoyable, dude. But I will just warn people, because I was not warned. If you are like me and you partake in Whamageddon, which if you don't know,
is that in the?
It is in the movie. It is.
What is in the movie?
The song
by Wham.
Yeah,
it's the song that plays during the car chase.
Oh.
But if you don't know what Whamageddon is, it's you go as long as possible from December 1st to December 24th. Without hearing Nash Christmas by Wayne.
Yeah.
Specifically that.
Hey, they used it in a very good spot.
Did they?
Is that what got you tossed, Earl?
No, it was not actually what got me tossed. I had got tossed the day before because one of my friends on Instagram posted a story with it. And by the time I read it, I'm like, God damn it. Because I almost got wind at the supermarket. Because I caught myself singing this song. I'm like, why am I singing this song? And it was on, you know, like but it was a cover. So covers don't count. It's only specifically the version by Wham. But yes, my friend posted on Instagram and he's like, oh, I don't know what happened. Why are you mad? I'm like, God damn you.
The thing that cracked me up about Carry On is, like, once every year, there's, like, this big, dumb fucking movie that I just fucking love and rave about. And I think last year was that movie Plane with Gerard Butler.
Yeah, it was fun, too.
And as soon as I saw this one, I'm like, this is just such a safe bet to, like, tell all your coworkers to watch and this and that. It's not like, you know, I'm not coming to them with like an art house thing that I'm not sure how they're going to react. Cause oftentimes they get, you know, that was boring or whatever. I was like,
carry on. Obscure horror films.
Yeah. if we carry on, I'm like, this is just such a sure bet because it's a fucking blast. And I'm like, I got two of my coworkers to like watch it immediately, and they both came back to me like, that was pretty silly, dude. It was like, pretty far fetched. And I'm like, yeah, dude, it's a big, dumb, fucking, stupid, like, diehard airport fucking movie. Like, yeah, it's far fetched. Like, I don't understand. Like, did I sell it incorrectly to you? I didn't say it was like fucking best picture. I mean, I don't know, man. It was so much fun to me that it's going to probably make my top 10 list. It's stupid. But like, also like, I thought that like, it really did like really good suspense for like long portions of it. And like, really, I thought came up with like creative things. Like, and you got Jason Bateman as like the fucking, you know, chip chewing bad guy. It's so much fun, dude. Like, I don't know, Earl. I feel like I'm like, like a lot of people seem to enjoy it, but I'm like the one that's like, this is great. Like, I finished it and I wanted to watch it again. That's how fun it was for me.
Well, go watch Carry On then. It's on Netflix. Big recommend from Jeff.
So. I mean, pretty much everyone has seen it at this point. I'm surprised you have not seen it yet. Like, it was like the number one movie, like, within an hour of being posted.
Yeah, I just didn't even know about it until you texted me about it the other day.
Yeah.
I was like, have you seen this? I was like, maybe I heard about it. And I was like, nope, I hadn't heard about this.
No, yeah.
Did you watch the trailer?
No. No, oh, I so just you took your word know. For it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, one thing I will say, which I think is funny, and maybe because I just grew up with him, and I just don't take Jason Bateman as a serious threat.
I just love his vibe. I love his vibe, and he's doing the vibe from Ozark here. We're just like, that's how the world is. Yep. And I'm moving along. Yeah, like that sort of thing. I don't know how to explain it. Like, not the kind of like the nonchalant villainy, I guess. I don't know. I really enjoy that. Terry Edgerton's great in it, and again, I think there's enough like clever, like stupid yet clever things, and it's just operating on that like stupid fun. Early '90s level.
I think it could have trimmed like 20 minutes.
I didn't feel any of it. I was so locked in.
I don't think any of it's wrong. I just feel like it could have trimmed 20.
Trim the first, like I would trim that out of maybe the beginning of the movie, like the first 10 minutes. But after that, I was just like, we're off to the races. Like,
because I mean, I think not that it's hard. I do think 2 hours is pushing 2 hours. Again, action movies like nowadays.
A lot of bathroom meetings.
Yes. Yes. And I feel like they did not take a ton of use of making it. Like Christmas Eve, which is like a big, it's Christmas Eve. It's like, I never feel like the airport's that busy.
I do love, this is in the trailer when they're like pulling people aside to like wave the wand over them and shit or whatever. They're like, is it because I'm Muslim? Is it because I'm black? Is it because I'm white? Like, I had a fun sense of humor to it. Like, I don't know.
How long is it, Earl?
It's just under 2 hours.
I mean, Die Hard.
It's exactly, dude. It's one of those movies. This could have been Die Hard 2.
I like Die Hard 2.
I think it's better than Die Hard 2, honestly. Like
Die Hard is already set at an airport, but
yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's not funny. Everyone's like, it's Die Hard set in an airport, and I caught myself saying it several times. So I was like,
Die Hard 2 was set in an airport.
Yeah. It is Die Hard 2, but better, I think. Like, I don't know. It's
Die Hard 2 at an airport on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I will give it a watch this weekend.
It's fun.
Maybe we'll have an episode. Maybe not. We'll see how we feel. But if we don't, have a great holiday. We'll be back. I don't know, at some point, Jeff.
See you next year.
Yeah.
Bye bye. Good night.